Hello, Hope. Merry Christmas, Hope.
All right, Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church on this, the first Sunday of 2021, as we celebrate the season of Christmas still, because it is still Christmas. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. First and only, sort of, next Sunday, we have several different things going on you might want to know about. We have drive-through communion next Sunday, following worship from about noon until about 1:30. So hopefully you'll come join us. But also at that time, if you have and want to pick them up, pledge envelopes, if that's something that you do every year and you know that you have those, you can pick those up as well. So what we'll do is we'll have two stations in the parking lot. You'll pull through, and the first one is where you would get your envelopes. So if you have envelopes and you want to pick them up, stop there and have them get those for you. And then you'll come down, and I'll be down here, and we'll do communion. But also next Sunday, we're going to be doing a remembrance of baptism. And so this is something that we can do in two ways. You can either do it at home. Remembrance of baptism is not an actual baptism. It is just something we do in which we remember our own baptism. And so if you want to do that at home, have some water handy for the service next week, and a small dish of some kind with the water in it, that will be helpful. Or if you want to do remembrance in person, then just let me know when you come for communion, and I can then lead you through a remembrance of baptism as well at that time. So sort of remember all that for next Sunday. Following church, noon to 1:30 out here, pledge envelopes, communion, and we're going to do remembrance of baptism. You can do it here with me, or you can do it at home during our service. Just have a dish with some water in it handy at that time. Now, let us take a deep breath, settle ourselves, and take a moment as we listen to our prelude and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship.
Please join in a call to worship. We gather wondering, where will we find the babe born in Bethlehem? We will find the babe in the laughter of children and the wisdom of grandparents. We gather asking, where will we find the child of Christmas? We will find the child where the needy are gifted with hope, where the oppressed are set free. We gather wanting to know, where will we find the Christ who has come for us? We will find our hope where fear is overwhelmed by grace, where hatred is overwhelmed by love, where all people are overwhelmed by joy. Please join in Joy to the World.
Find ourselves in our time of prayer. Let us begin by having a moment of silence, reflection, as we offer up the prayers of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and then listen to music to help guide us in our prayer. Lord, this day we lift up a great many prayers to you. Especially this week, we want to lift up Iris Dawson and her family as we mourn and surround them in our love and comfort at her passing. Lord, we also surround, mourn, pray for, hold in our hearts the Kaneen family at the passing of Ed Kaneen, this week? We pray for all for whom a new year holds not optimism and expectation, but trepidation, fear, unknown, anxiety. God, we gather in this place this day to celebrate your Son, but also to know that your Son was with us in this world, a world that is messy, complicated, a world that is joyful, triumphant, a world that mourns, a world that cries, a world that does awful things, a world that does amazing things. In the midst of all of that, you came to be with us, to walk with us, to comfort us in our grief, to mourn with us in our sorrow, to laugh with us in our celebration, to sit in silence with us in our reflection and trepidation. Would you join with me in our unison prayer? We have heard of your grace, shaper of stars, from those set free from injustice, from our children who whisper of your joy, from greeters of dawn's fresh start, from late risers who listen to the stories of the needy. We have heard of your light, bright star of the morning, which can illumine the shadows of our lives, which can show the path to God's heart, which can point the way to where we become servants of the gospel. We have heard of your promised peace, wisdom's radiance, that peace which can end war as well as heal our hearts, that peace which can conquer our fears and flood us with faith, that peace which can enter our lives and overwhelm us with hope. We have heard of you, God in community, holy in one, and will proclaim your glory to all even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, hopeful children. I've brought a couple things to share with you and a couple stories, so stick with me. The first thing I wanted to share was an atlas. Now, I don't know if you've seen these before, but basically what they are a book of maps, a very important tool for travel. Now, nowadays, we don't use atlases that much. We rely on things like Garmin's and other ways. Technology helps us to get from place to place. But this is an important tool. That's the first thing I want to share. And I want to tell a couple stories, a couple dog stories. Who doesn't love a good dog story? This morning I was out walking Gracie's dog. Her name is Duck. And Gracie's dog is fun. She's young. And she loves to walk. But the way she walks is here and there in whichever way. She's always got her head up. If she sees something, she goes that direction. If she wants to sniff something, she goes that direction too. If she sees birds flying or snowflakes coming in the air, she's after those things. Duck is a difficult traveler. We used to have a dog named Molly, and Molly was a beagle, and I used to walk Molly as well. But Molly's was commanded by one thing, her sense of smell. And when I would walk Molly, I would hold on to that leash, and Molly would catch a scent with her nose, and that dog would track that scent no matter what. We would go left, then we would go right, we would go straight and then diagonal all over the place. We used to kid that if a bunny or a squirrel jumped in front of Molly, she wouldn't notice it because her nose is too big to the ground. Now, people travel just like that, don't they? They travel sometimes looking all over the place, or sometimes they keep their nose to the ground and they miss everything that's right in front of them. I don't know which is better. I really don't. I'm not sure traveling with, like Duck or traveling like Molly was better. It doesn't really have an answer. I don't have an answer for that. But I will tell you, there is an answer that you can use, and it comes to, in the form of the second thing I brought today. This is the Bible. It's kind of like a trail guide. Now, if every answer that you needed was in this Bible all the time, this would not just be the number one bestseller. This would be the number one best read book. But this is a tool that we can use just like the map on our journey. Now, we're in a new year, and so I know that there's a lot of things ahead of us, and we are all on a journey, adults and children alike. So my challenge for us this year is, really, look, how are we walking? How are we traveling on this journey? And in what ways are we relying on the tools that we have for us? Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you for the journey that you set for us. We thank you for the opportunity to look up and see the world around us. Guide us this year as we grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall come and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Our second lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will be shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you've found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. This scripture is one that we are perhaps familiar with, I would think. It's one of the ones often preached about this time of year. It's got a song written about it. Even though that doesn't tell us how many there are, we're just going to assume that the music is right and there are three. But also, the scripture is important. I hope that you took the challenge I gave of digging into the story of Christmas, of life, and to find something new within it, even though you've heard it before. For this is something that we should always do with anything that we read, whether it be the Bible, a book for fun. You can do this with a movie that you love. I guarantee you, if you have a movie that you love and you watch it and focus on background detail instead of the main characters because you know what the main characters are going to say, you will spot something new. Whether it's an elf rolling his eyes in the back of a council argument in Lord of the Rings, or a person actually playing a video game in the background of one of the Marvel movies. There are things that we miss when we feel like we know the story so well that we don't actually pay attention to it. And so too do we have that happen here in the story of the Magi from the East. The first thing that this scripture does is it helps fulfill prophecy. Matthew's gospel is very big on laying out an argument and a case for why Jesus is the Messiah. And so one of the key components of this quest is the fulfillment of prophecy so that it becomes clear that Christ is indeed the Messiah. And so here we have the scripture from Isaiah. And now the fulfillment of that in Matthew's gospel. But this also does a few more things for us as believers who read it. It helps us remember that we could be anyone in this story. We could be a family with a new child, struggling to get by, in a place not our own, just wanting something better, living in fear. We could be the Magi on a journey to uncover something unknown but exciting that we've heard about, willing to take difficult and dangerous trips to do it. We could be the ones who say to ourselves, I have seen hope, and I choose to follow, not knowing where it will take me, but knowing that it's worth the risk and the journey. Or we could be Herod. We could be one who, above all else, and at all costs to anyone else, clings to any perception of power, clings to any perception of privilege, and will do anything and get rid of anyone who stands in the way. We have the potential to be anyone in this story. And so we must ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we is a question that we need to ask ourselves at all the steps of our journey. It's a question I think we often ask ourselves at this time of year. January 1st, we make resolutions. I don't know about you guys, I didn't do so good on my resolutions last year. Something got in the way. But we often ask ourselves at the beginning of the year, who am I and who do I want to be? And we set lofty aspirations. Typically, this is when gyms make the most money. Because everybody, that's why you got to go in to cancel your membership. You can't call on the phone for that one. They want you to come in and they'll be like, well, but you could use the pool. And then you're like, okay, and then you keep it. So who are we? We ask ourselves this, especially at this time of year, but we should always be a people who ask ourselves that question at every step of our growth and our journey of discipleship, life, and all that that entails. Who am I? Because who you were then is not necessarily who you are now. Who I was when I was in college is not who I was when I was in high school, and it's not who I am now. I look back on college, Andrew, and I think, ooh, give that guy the hook. Get him out of here. I look back on high school, Andrew, and I'm just like, what a moron. But we must do that. If we look back and we say to ourselves, I am the best and have always been the best, then you're not looking back hard enough. Or, I hate to break it to you, but you might be someone who peaked in high school and think that that's the best time of your life, and nothing is ever going to be as good as that. And if that's the case, then you need to grow. You have to honestly ask yourself, who am I? Not just about who you might be in a story in the Bible, or who you might be if you take one of those BuzzFeed quizzes and, you know, figure out which character you might be in your favorite movie, or as Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, or what kind of potato you are. It does not about that kind of a discovery. It's about who you really are on the inside, because if you don't ask yourself that, you fail to recognize your own growth and the potential for good or harm that that growth has. And often when we are unaware of our own growth, because growth happens whether it's positive or negative, when we are unaware of our growth, we can unintentionally do great harm to those around us. The Magi engage in a lengthy journey to find hope. They don't know exactly what they're looking for. They don't know where exactly they're going. They have to stop and get directions, a sign of growth. Stopping to ask for directions, that shows maturity and learning. That's what that is. I'm telling you right now. Learn that one the hard way. But they stop and ask for directions, but they still engage on their journey. But we know that they are a people who have grown because the Spirit, and they are not from this country in our scripture. They're not Jewish. They're from the East. But they have traveled, and yet God talks to them. They don't have to be prophets or priests. God still finds a way to talk to them wherever they may be in their journey and says, do not go back that same path you've already been down. And we all hear this in our life. We all know this in our life, that we have moments where we're told, don't go down that path. Don't go back that way. And we have to make a choice, and yet too often, we go with the road that we already have traveled. Because we know that our favorite restaurant is there. Or we know the route we like to take. And so we want that path. But they listen to God and they go back a different way because they were warned not to go back to Herod. Now this will lead to Herod doing something unfathomable and evil and heinous, in that because he doesn't get to know exactly which one and where the Christ child is, he just sends troops to kill all of the children in a huge age bracket. Really subtle. Because it proves to all of us, and this is why Scripture is not something that exists in a vacuum, but that it is relevant at all times and all places. Herod proves to us here and now that those in power, when threatened and feeling as though they will lose any sense of control or privilege or power that they have, will do anything and everything that they can when they care more about themselves than anybody else to cling to it until the end. And in Herod's case, it leads to the slaughter of the innocents. Can you imagine if God had told the Magi, don't go back that way, and they had said, yeah, but he had a really nice house, and did you see the buffet that that guy had? And they went back, and they were like, oh yeah, second door on the right, the kid, he's got a birthmark on his cheek, his mom's name is Mary, you know, and gave him the full dossier on everything. What would that have done? Would it have changed how Herod handled the situation? Would it have put God at risk if they had taken the road already traveled and not listened? How would it have changed the story for us? How has your journey been long? Is a question that we must always ask ourselves. Because our lives and our faith and our growth and our stewardship and our discipleship and everything that we do is a long journey. Even the part of it that you think is a short journey is a bigger part of a journey. Our lives are not a point A to point B, but our lives are point A to point B to point C to point D to point F to point E to point G. That was not alphabetical, but we're going to keep going. Our lives are a long journey, full of opportunities for growth, learning, discipleship, amazing works, amazing love, and heartache, and loss, and sorrow, and grief, and hardship, and potential. Because the thing that keeps us going, just as it kept the Magi going in the long journey that is our life, is that which is at the core, or should be at the core, of all of us who profess faith, discipleship, and Christ as our Lord and Savior, hope. In the Hunger Games series, hope is that which those in the capital fear the most. They don't want those other people in those districts who have nothing getting too much hope. Because hope is hard to stamp out. Hope is invasive. And it grows. And it spreads. And it challenges status quo. Hope comes fragile, delicate, innocent, subtly, at Christmas. And each and every day that we get out of bed and go on our journey, hope is there with us. We have to be the ones who decide to follow that hope in the midst of our long journey. We have to be the ones who ask ourselves, who are we? We are the ones who carry hope. And nobody can take that away from us. Amen. Let us join in our next hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 251. As we find ourselves in our time of offertory, let us pause for a moment of silent reflection as we think and live and give ourselves and our offerings of all sorts to God. Now would you join us as we sing our doxology. Prepare to go back today into the long journey. May this moment of rest refresh you, and may the nugget of hope that came into your lives at Christmas continue to be present in your everyday journey, that it would sustain you for the long road, the long journey, the hard questions, and every moment of every day. Amen. Let us join in our benediction response.